here's a story from The World.
The pandemic has changed a lot about how we interact with our environment. I know that if I didn't have a daily walk or a jog outside, lockdown would be really grim. So now food activists and researchers are encouraging people to rethink, long-term, how outdoor public land can be used. The World's Bianca Hillier reports on the growing push for edible public spaces.
Edible public spaces can come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. A community garden is one example. Some have animals, some are plants only. These landscapes can be big, like a university campus in northern China made largely of rice fields, or a 5-acre forest of fruits, vegetables, and herbs in Malaysia. But other edible public spaces are small and simple.
Say if we go to some of the countries in the Mediterranean, let's say Spain or Italy, we might see citrus trees lining a street side.
Joshua Zoinart is a landscape architect and professor at the University of New South Wales in Sydney. He's been looking into edible public spaces for more than a decade and says while the landscapes are centered around food, feeding people isn't always the primary goal.
I think it's more so about connecting urban citizens with our food systems. And, you know, the great, great majority of our populations are disconnected from our food systems. So I think it's about bringing growing food and the visibility of that into our consciousness so that we don't lose connection.
Strengthening that relationship through a decentralized food system could also lead to a reduction in food waste, Zoinart says. When people realize how hard it is to grow food, they likely won't throw produce away as readily. Another benefit is the social connections made in these spaces.
The language is in the plant in some ways.
Chris Blythe heads up a UK charity called Social Farms and Gardens. Pre-pandemic, he recalls dinners with community garden members from around the world. Using the same garden or farm, they'd all prepare meals from their hometown or country.
Jamaican dishes, Polish dishes, beetroot soup and sauerkraut, plus a traditional English barbecue of sausage. You know, it's such an opportunity to share different cultures.
For other edible public spaces, though, feeding people is the main purpose.
To me, the biggest benefit would be that people can access nutritious food on a daily basis.
John Chiwagalo works at Slow Food Uganda. His team helps more than 1,500 people get seeds, tools, and gardening training to plant their own plots on urban rooftops.
We also reach out to schools to teach kids how to grow food and the importance of growing food. And you find that kids are working with their parents to grow food. They are actively engaged as children.
Chiwagalo says that education became vital during the pandemic as income insecurity rose and people were forced to stay home with less frequent trips to the market. Slow Food Uganda used this year to highlight the need for edible spaces on public land and in urban homes.
So it was an opportunity to have people understand that having gardens at home is an essential practice whereby you can access food even without having money for buying food from markets.
Lockdown also inspired an edible public space in the French city of Le Havre, where they created a free fruit, vegetable, and herb garden in front of City Hall. Passersby know when to pick the produce with the help of small signs in the dirt that say, "I'm ripe," or "Wait a bit." This huge range of what public food landscapes can look like and what benefits they provide is diversity that many people celebrate. But Chris Blythe in the UK says that variation can also make the concept tough for policymakers to grasp.
If you go to a policymaker and sort of say, right, well, this space will benefit the local community, it will benefit the public health system, it will benefit the economic and employment development areas, that's great, but where do I put my money? That's great, but what's the key benefit? And explaining and eliciting that key benefit to a policymaker is quite a challenge.
Blythe says policy surrounding these spaces remains largely untouched. He hopes future laws will clear some of the red tape that prevents people from using public land to grow free, accessible produce. In the meantime, edible spaces continue to grow in demand and popularity, making it easier for people in cities around the world to get their hands dirty. For The World, I'm Bianca Hillier.